I suppose I could have said sit, but that might have gotten confusing.
Good morning. Welcome to the celebration of a revered holy person of the church, St. Francis of Assisi. Now, there are many images of this hard-to-pin-down saint. Frescoes of him talking with a wolf. Icons of him receiving the stigmata, the marks of the wounds of Jesus on his hands, his side, and his feet. Still other images of Francis's revelatory kiss of peace with a leper. But I would bet a hefty amount of money, much more than I would bet on any Cal football team, I'm just not a betting man, that one of the most common images that exists in the whole world of this saint who owned little material in his own life is that of St. Francis as cement statuary with birds perched on his shoulders and in his hands. I mean, who here hasn't seen this? Some days it makes one wish that Giotto knew something of mass production. And most typical of this genre, probably, is the Holy St. Francis bird bath. Now, I say this knowing that there could be several St. Francis bird bath owners here in this church today. And to you I say, I have no problems with bird baths, with birds or baths for that matter. I, like Francis, love birds. But this present-day image of Francis in conversation with the beautiful winged creatures gives me pause, because I think that many people's understanding of this gentle, loving, humble, foolish, fanatic, and somewhat delusional Italian of the 13th century remains there in the realm of birdbath. The danger of the St. Francis birdbath is the danger of seeing this one expression of his life as the totality of who he was. The risk always exists to flatten a person's life simply to one facet of their actions and beliefs. And as is usually the case, this facet has great truth in it. As you may know, Francis lived with complete reverence for the whole world around him. As one scholar has noted, where the modern cynic sees something bug-like in everything that exists, St. Francis saw even in a bug the sacredness of life. This came to greatest clarity in his poem, The Canticle of the Sun, that we just sung, that we pray later in this service, that all of creation is in relationship with humankind, and all of humankind is in relationship with the creation. Brother sun and sister moon, brother wind and sister water, mother earth, and even sister death. By our very nature, we are in relationship with all that is. Francis knew this deeply. But frankly, it is too comforting and cuddly for us to remain with this saint of Assisi in his birdbath. For Francis was more than a holy park ranger. For if our understanding of him remains there, we lose much of the radical nature of his life. And it was in his radical way of being that he showed his holy luminescence. It is in our gospel this morning, specifically selected for this, for the whole church's celebration of Francis's life, that we get a glimpse of this radicalness. In our passage from Matthew, Jesus calls to those who will follow him on his way. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now one might wonder, how on earth a yoke, a heavy wooden beam used to harness beasts of burden, how a yoke might be anything easy? Thankfully, it is through witnesses like Francis that this can be seen. Because this yoke of Jesus, friends, is not about power or domination. It's about the gentleness and humility with which we approach the world around us, bug, beast, and brother alike. And we must remember that true humility comes from this root word, humus, right? Of the earth. Humility is not to be lower than the ground. It is simply meeting another on common ground, refusing to assume superiority. And this is one of the tremendous gifts that Francis offered the world. He lived as he wrote this from his first known letter. Rather, we must be simple, humble, and pure. We should never desire to be over others. As you might imagine, stories about Francis's life of humility abound. None, of course, by him. He was very humble. One that we studied at yesterday's retreat took place in the year 1219. The Fifth Crusade, ironically begun by Pope Innocent III, was 6 years in. And Francis and some companions traveled to Damietta, Egypt, in the midst of the battles. Now, there is some dispute as to Francis's intention, whether it was for martyrdom or to intervene in this holy war. In any event, Francis felt called to speak with the commander of the Muslims, Sultan al-Malik al-Kamil. This at a time when to cross camps in either direction could mean a quick death. Taking another brother, Illuminatus, with him, they entered the Muslim camp. Not surprisingly, the brothers were apprehended, bound, and dragged before the Sultan. There, Francis spoke of his faith in Christ. He did not demean Allah or the Prophet. Francis explained that he was sent by God to show the Sultan and his people the way of salvation and proclaim the truth of the gospel message. The Sultan was so moved by the passion and humility that Francis spoke with that he not only listened, but also asked Francis to stay and offered him many gifts. Francis, in turn, explained to the Sultan that he had no interest in the riches of the world. This, of course, impressed the Sultan even more, and he insisted that Francis take gifts to the Christian poor. Even this, Francis would not accept. He simply wanted to share of his faith in Christ, hoping to discover common ground in the process. The Sultan, deeply impressed with Francis's humility and faith, granted him safe passage through the Holy Land, and brothers Francis and Illuminatus made their way back to Italy. This encounter of Muslim and Christian meeting on common holy ground in the midst of warfare continues to resonate throughout the centuries. Many here today may be aware of Greg Mortensen, a mountaineer and humanitarian, or the book about his life and organization called Three Cups of Tea. His story runs a remarkable parallel to that of Francis. After getting lost from a failed attempt at K2 in the mountains of Pakistan, Mortensen was taken in barely alive by villagers in a harsh, remote area of the country. After they nursed him back to health, he promised to build a school for the village upon his return from the U.S., a promise that many climbers apparently make. But unbelievably, that is exactly what he did. After first listening to their primary needs for a bridge to the village, he raised money in the States, and with the aid of many in Pakistan and beyond, he navigated the Byzantine process of commerce and trading in that area of the world. And finally, after years of stumbling into Korfa in Balistan, a school was built in the village that saved him. Since then, the organization he founded, the Central Asia Institute, has built over 78 schools, many especially for girls in Pakistan and Afghanistan. And scores of them have been built as we have been engaged in a bloody war that has claimed thousands of lives, civilians as well as soldiers. You see, in a pursuit that many of the wise and the intelligent in this country called foolish, Greg Mortensen has been able to pull the same yoke that Francis was harnessed to. A yoke that demanded that he acknowledge all of humankind as worthy of his compassion. A yoke of gentleness and perseverance, of humility, and of great risk. So is it possible to follow Jesus like Francis did and still have a 30-year fixed mortgage? Yes. And it may not require a trip to the mountains of the Karakoram Range, because this yoke is ready for us to pick up here in Berkeley, California. Even in Francis's time, there were many that wanted to drop everything, the farm, even the family, if they were to take up this yoke and join Francis and Claire and the companions. Francis, though, knew that someone had to grow the food for everyone to eat. Someone had to cut the rock to provide for shelter. For God's sake, in our time and place, someone has to work the ovens at the Cheese Board Collective. This yoke is not some unattainable, pious ideal. If Francis lived for anything, it wasn't to be set above the world, but to show that anyone and everyone can take on this yoke of gentleness and humility. As we celebrate St. Francis today, as we bless these creatures, large and small, those who were so close in spirit to Francis, remember this yoke. When we walk out these doors, back into a world that often rewards power over meekness and domination over cooperation, remember this yoke. In our broken relationships, especially those in which we hesitate even to tread once more, remember this yoke. As we return to our homes, back to the frustrations and the worries that might await us, remember this yoke. As we put it to our shoulders, may we find it easy and its burden light. This day and all our days, in this yoke of gentleness and humility, may we find rest for our souls and for all those with whom we travel.